This morning I want to talk about the Christmas star, and I want to read Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And then he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah, but for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." May God bless the reading of his word. Loved one, whenever God moves, there's a supernatural event, a harbinger of greatness. When Moses was called by God, if you remember, the burning bush appeared to him. And in that glorious display of God's presence, Moses received his call. And in this story, we know the story so well at Christmas time that the star, the special and unique star, was given as a sign for the Magi. And these are men who traveled over 600 miles in a search for Christ. And this morning, I want to talk about searching for Jesus, because I believe as they were searching for Christ, we also in this place are searching for the will of God. I don't know a room full of more hungry people who are seeking God's will, who are searching out God's will, who are desperate to know the will of God. We've seen what we can do. We've seen what the devil can do. We need to see what God can do in our lives. We've seen what our opinions can bring by way of sowing and reaping. We need God's will. I want the will of God in my life. I've lived long enough to say, "Uncle, I want Jesus to prevail. And if he wants something from me, if it comes with him, I want it in my life. If it doesn't come with Jesus, I don't want it in my life." So we're going to stand with the Magi this morning. They were seeking Christ, and I'm standing in the midst of people who are seeking the will of God. But I want to talk about what we can glean from the story of the Christmas star with regard to seeking the will of God, because God led the Magi down a dangerous and a mysterious and a demanding road. And loved one, you've signed on for an adventure when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We're going to find out in just a few minutes. There is an adventure involved. Because when we look at the star as a symbol of God's guidance, without exception, we see the same principles throughout the Bible. Following God is often dangerous. Following God is usually mysterious. It's always demanding. And he always leads you places you didn't expect to go. So we're going to glean some truths, and the first one is the Magi story unfolds. We see that these men, these interesting men, these priest kings, these folk from 600 miles away with a mixture of all kinds of understanding and knowledge. How many of you know that God loves the lost?
Why would he speak to the Magi? Weren't they involved in some kind of astrological?
God loves the lost. He prepared the gospel for the world and the world for the gospel. And just because someone doesn't walk with your group doesn't mean that Jesus' hand isn't on them, doesn't mean that his call is not upon their life. And how many of you know God loves lost people? And anyone who sincerely starts out seeking for God is going to wind up at the manger. They're going to wind up with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Wherever they are, whatever country they live in, whether they've heard of the Bible or heard his name formally, if they ask and they knock and they seek and they begin a sincere pursuit for God, they're going to be led to Christ. But there are just some things in the Magi story that leapt out at me, because we always hear about the star, and I'm not going to talk about it. You can see it tonight. You see a bright Venus, and right to the right, you see Jupiter, the Messianic king planet. The star of Bethlehem actually is in the heavens tonight. You can go and see the star that these men followed for 600 miles. But there are some truths, some fundamental truths with regard to seeking God's will, and I think we need to set our hearts again to seek his will for the new year. And drop all of our hopes and all of our dreams and all of our expectations, and be willing to revise all of our hopes so that we can keep pace with God and say, "Lord, where are you leading me?" Well, the first thing we need to understand about God's will is God's will and following after God's will is often dangerous. I want to be a myth buster this morning. We have imbibed this concept that our goal in life is to be safe and secure. And when we or our families are safe and secure, we are then in the middle and in the heart of God's will. That's deeply ingrained in us Christian Americans. We're Americans. right? Comfort is everything. Safety is everything. All of our needs met on our terms is everything. But how many of you know following God is a very dangerous business? The Magi left their home. They left their loved ones. They left their security like Abraham of old, and they went. They didn't have GPS. They didn't have MapQuest. They didn't have a scholarly journals that were dictating where they were going to go. They were stepping out in faith, and it was a dangerous journey, and it led them right into Herod's palace. Sometimes God will lead you some places you don't want to go in the process of getting you to his perfect will. I said, sometimes he'll lead you places you don't want to go.
Well, I rebuke that truth in Jesus' name. I rebuke that interpret fact in Jesus' name. He connected the dots wrong on that one.
No, loved one, the first thing we learn in the Magi story is following God is often dangerous. And so this is not the exception. This is the rule to God's people. I mean, Moses, led and called by God, is brought under the jurisdiction of Pharaoh. Joseph, sharing his dreams, comes under the envy of his brothers. And he's thrown in a pit in Potiphar's house in prison and left there for 13 years. Following God can be dangerous. Now, I don't know about you. I want cutting-edge adventure in my life. I want adventure. I don't want to sing standing in the promises while sitting on the premises. I want something fun to happen. And serving God is an adventure. And why you would expect it to be anything else, that's the false assumption you need to challenge. But safety and security, and I've worked so hard to get this nest just the way I liked it. And then that weird eagle teacher, and they rip the children out and throw them in the air, and they pull all the down away. Yeah, he is the eagle teacher guy that you've heard that teaching, right? Everything's cozy, everything's safe, everything's secure until mama goes nuts and begins to dismantle that beautiful, cozy place and push her babies off the cliff to teach them to fly. Yeah, I know that one doesn't work on TBN, but that the feather bed, it's what I want. You know, I don't know about you. I want everything nailed down. I want everything on the east, west, north, south, my kingdom securely in my control. For Jesus. But loved one, following God is dangerous. And that we need to contrast this morning danger with safety, because this is the norm. David ran right into Goliath. Serving God for Daniel led him right into the lion's den. Serving God for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego led them right into the fire. Serving God for the Apostle Peter led him into chains. Serving God for the Apostle Paul meant, thrice I was beaten with rods. He said that so well in King James. That means three times they beat the tar out of him. And this is the norm for Paul was go in, preach the gospel, take the offering, be tarred and feathered and run out on a rail. Be called a devil, be called every name but a child of God, be beaten at midnight with a bloody back. Now, most of us, when our comfort would be challenged to that degree, would question whether or not we'd ever heard from the Lord. You know, my call to ministry is severely challenged. The circumstances aren't lining up with my... You know what? Paul, thank God, was not thinking that way when he was praising God at midnight in Acts 16 with Silas with bloody backs. They were praising God that they were accounted worthy to suffer for Jesus. Following God can be dangerous. Hallelujah. I'm not getting older. I'm getting better. I'm looking for some danger. This year... Watch out. Now, danger doesn't mean it has to be life-threatening, but you know what? It's a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster. But secondly, following God is often mysterious. We want safety. God offers danger. We want clarity. You know, if it isn't crystal clear, it just isn't God. Okay? That's just what... You know what? That's a lie. Following God is not only dangerous versus safe, it is mysterious. It's mysterious. If you've been walking with him for any period of time, we tend to want everything the way we want it. We want to know God's will, and so we usually, when we're desperate, we depend on a feeling. But feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. None else is worth believing. I got all kinds of feelings bubbling up down here in my spirit, starting this morning when I woke up. Feelings are nice, but boy, can they deceive you. We lean on a feeling when we seek the will of God. Secondly, we lean on a formula sometimes. We want a recipe, you know? Sing two hymns in a hurry, and then everything, and then two fast ones and two slow ones. And when we want to seek the will of God, we want a formula. And there are plenty of ministries out there promising you that their 35-tape series and seminar will bring perfect, pristine clarity to the will of God. You know what? If it's God, there's mystery in it. There's mystery in it. He only gives me enough light to see the next step. How about you? You know,
No. He gives me a 5-year plan. In fact, he was sitting on my bed this morning when I woke up, and he scared me to death. I said, Jesus, don't you ever do that again. You know,
I'm glad he's sitting on everybody's bed, and I'm glad they all have 2-year plans. I just wake up like one of the mole people in the morning. You know,
please, light, please. Enough light. Light.
Just to see the next step so I don't run into the wall. Following God is dangerous. Following God is mysterious. These guys did not have a blueprint. I mean, they're going on their understanding of one of Daniel's prophecies and hoping that liver quiver they felt was God and not the burrito they ate the night before. And there's an element of mystery. Yeah, you can have your element of mystery. I have an elephant of mystery. Someone get me a glass of water before I blaspheme the Trinity or something. Lips are dry. Amen. Like that time I shouted out that the blind hear and the deaf see. I said, oh, sure, here God may be able to hear, make blind people see and deaf people hear. My God can make deaf people. Amen. Following God is mysterious. You know, we have a whole series on God's guidance, and you know, it's just important because there's no one particular way. Whenever someone tells you that their little teaching, their book on hearing God's voice or hearing the liver quiver or reading your gut right or whatever the latest seminar is, God bless them all. But there's no one way that we can be sure of God's guidance. There are many different ways. I have a whole series on this, but first of all, God's Word, the Bible, that's a good place to start. God's revealed will, His inerrant Word, that's always a good place to start for guidance. Before you go to Aunt Lucy, before you go to the prophetic seminar, get God's Word out. Secondly, wise counsel. There are people that know that Bible better than you do, and they've had more experience walking with God. And so we need not only God's Word in our lives for His guidance. Secondly, we need wise counsel. We need men, women that know the Lord, have been walking with Him for years, have known His Word better than we do, and can connect the dots a little bit better. We all need wise counsel. So we need God's Word. We need wise counsel. But third, we also need the inner witness. The Bible does say that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. There are times, but you know, the thing about subjective things like the inner witness is that you can have an inner witness to commit adultery. You can have what some people think is perfect peace in the midst of committing the great, most grievous moral issues in the world. Well, I had peace. Well, you know what? That's a subjective thing. When we get swimming around in our own subjectivity, an inner witness of God's Spirit is an authentic way of being led, but it has to be used in tandem with testing that inner witness with the written Word of God, with wise counsel, with those men and women that know Jesus Christ. And what about the peace of God? There is a dimension of fact that the peace of God that passes understanding will rest in our lives when we're in the zone. But still, peace is also a subjective thing. I've met people that are allegedly in perfect peace, violating every one of God's commandments. So that one again, whenever they're subjective liver quivers, they have to be subject to the objective truth of God's Word. So God's Word leads us, wise counsel and confirmation of that Word, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, and prophetic confirmation. There are times when, praise God, He moves and inspires someone near our lives to speak something of the Lord. Oh, we're desperate sometimes to hear from God. And sometimes He'll use people we don't know. That's even better. I had a wonderful prophetic word when I went to Nigeria. As folk that didn't know me, they didn't have a history with me. And sometimes you even trust that a little bit more because they don't know anything about you. But God does use prophetic confirmation to lead us along life's way. But also circumstances. He uses circumstances. Sometimes, you know, God shuts a door and that door's shut and you can keep beating your head against it, but the doors He shuts, no one can open, including your head. He's so rude sometimes, the way He just goes and slams doors. Oh, I suppose this is one of those unopenable doors. Well, I'm going to beat my head against it anyway. One woman one time said to me, she said, Pastor, God showed me my husband. I said, who? And she pointed to a married pastor. That there he is. I said, well, honey, he's married. He has a wife. She goes, yeah, but he ain't dead yet. You know, she was beating her head against a closed door. That's an unrealistic expectation. So God will use the Bible. He will use wise counsel. Third, he'll use the inner witness. Fourth, he'll use peace. Fifth, he'll use circumstances. Sixth, he'll use prophetic confirmation. But seventh, he'll use provision. Where God guides, he provides. But this isn't just a mini teaching I want to do. I just want to throw out the fact that we don't want any one of these things to lead us. Just an inner witness can be twisted. Just a sense of the peace of God in our life can be twisted. Prophetic confirmation, it could be the prophetic chicken that was pecking at their door this morning when they woke up.
Twice for yes, Lord, one for no. Don't just go throwing yourself open to anything.
The devil's around listening too, you know. Like Homer Simpson said, he said, I'm going to eat this cookie, Lord, and if it's your will that I eat this cookie, say absolutely nothing, thy will be done. So following God is dangerous versus safe. Following God is mysterious versus clear. It doesn't mean it won't always be clear. It just means we need a broad sense of guideposts to lead us with God. We need wise counsel, and we need the Word of God, most important, to subject all of our ideas and opinions to, because how many of you know the Bible's right and somebody's wrong? I got a friend who's a preacher who says, the Bible's right and somebody's wrong. And you know what? Whenever our liver quivers go contrary to the Word of God, the Bible's right and somebody's wrong. Yeah, I don't know how to say it any nicer. We live in a culture that doesn't want to hear that they're ever wrong. But you know, when God's leading you, it's dangerous, but secondly, it's mysterious. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, you know, there's eyes not seen or ear heard what's prepared for those that love him. But, you know, there's a sense where there is mystery in the leading that God gives us in our lives. And a sense of mystery is good. Why? First, mystery is good and redemptive because you can't handle the truth. You can't. If he showed you just what you would go through the last 20 years, you wouldn't have gotten on the train. There's a blessing to mystery. Mystery is a blessing. I want to see all things clear in Jesus' name. No, you don't. Do you want to see the last 20 years? What about the next 20 in front of you? And I don't want to scare anybody, but you know what? Following God is dangerous and following God is mysterious. And God has put mystery in place because mystery is a blessing. It's profitable. Good Lord, thank God. You don't tell your kids everything they're in for. I certainly don't. I know what they're in for. But my job here is to guide them and shape them and mold them in a way that somehow they will have what it takes to face what's ahead of them. Mystery is profitable. Mystery is a blessing. Don't curse mystery. I curse the spirit of mystery. No, yeah, you go curse everything you want, you interesting person. Spirit of mystery is bound in Jesus' name. No, God will just keep an element of the drape of mystery around your life, because you know what? We just need enough light to do the next right thing. We just need enough light to do the next right thing. That's all we need. So following God can be dangerous. Following God is often mysterious rather than clear. And you know, these guys put flesh and blood on the Magi. They really didn't know where they were going. I mean, they're following a star and they're seeing a conjunction over a period of year. I mean, they're seeing some celestial pageantry that was wonderful. Go to the Griffith Park Observatory and you can see in this presentation of the Christmas star what the skies looked like back then. There were some there's wonderful celestial pageantry. But you know, when you're going 600 miles, there's an element of it. You got to sleep outdoors. You got to eat weird food. There's people you don't know approaching you. There was an awful lot of discomfort involved with what the Magi were doing. And I think that when we're serving the Lord, we have to realize that we may want comfort above all else, but sometimes there's danger. And that's okay, because the Lord is with us to protect us. And we want absolute pristine clarity, but sometimes following God is mysterious. In fact, it's the rule, not the exception to the rule. These guys were led by this star, and they were led right into Herod's palace. That is not a cozy place to be. Later, they must have gone, oh, what were we thinking? You know, and this murderous man, you know, the spirit that was on Pharaoh that tried to kill Moses, the spirit that was on Haman that tried to annihilate the Jews, was the same spirit on Herod trying to destroy and hinder the redemptive work of God. And sometimes that star leads you right into strange places. And that's our third point. Sometimes the star will lead you to a stable. Sometimes the star will lead you to a stable. sometimes when we are led by God, we're going to wind up in unusual places. Did you hear me? The star didn't lead to majesty in this case. The Magi had to be led by God because where it led them was an unforeseen place. It was a humble place. It was a place, it challenged every expectation they ever had of kingly rule to see him there with a little straw laying down, you know. Well, actually, at this time, he's 2 years old running around, but amen. We'll correct ourselves in public. Correct ourselves. What is this, Gollum and Smeagol? Precious. They didn't expect humility. They didn't expect such humanity. They didn't know what they were expecting. But sometimes the star will lead you to a stable. And that's a very important point in life. Sometimes all these blazing stars that we're following, we assume are going to lead to what we would define as glory. And God often leads us to unusual places. He'll lead you into unusual relationships. He'll lead you into unusual friendships. He'll lead you to a place at this age, at this point in your life, look where you are. And you go, well, I think my star led me to a stable. Take a sniff. Yeah. Mm-mm. And you know what, though? You know what, though? We have to do what the Magi did. Number one, when a star leads us to the stable, when God leads us in his guidance to a place that is a little different than we expected. First, we have to see God in it. We have to see God in it. See, that star led them to the stable because that's where the Christ child was. That's where he was. That's where the God-man was. Can you imagine the little God-man running around with his diaper on? Oh, that must have been the most precious thing in the world. Most precious thing in the world. Sometimes God will lead you to a place that looks unlike his will, but you have to see him in it. You have to look again because you can see God in that stable. But secondly, they not only saw God in that stable when the star led them to a stable, secondly, it says that they worshiped there. You know, we need to worship where we are. We need to set down our roots, say, Lord, I'm here. Wherever you lead me, I'm going to worship you. Whether it's a high place, I'll worship you from a high place. If it's a low place, I'll worship you from a low place. One thing about these people in this church that I love is that they will praise Jesus whatever ground they're standing on in the moment. Whether it's a place of total victory, they'll praise him. Whether it's a place of deepest despair, they'll praise him. And these wise men, the star led them to a stable. They saw God in it. Secondly, they worshiped. They worshiped in that place. And third, they surrendered. They gave everything that they had. They gave the best of what they had in that place. Don't withhold the best that's in you for some day afar off, somewhere, somehow, somewhere. Give it all now. You know, loved one, we only have one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I want to count every day in my children's life. I want to count every day in your lives. I don't know. You don't know. Our mortality is another mystery. Every time I get in an airplane, I think, now I know this can't fall because God's got a plan, but that probably will just be the plan, making me think all these years he had a plan that would involve a plane crash. That's just the first 5 seconds I sit down and next to the atheist who's fast asleep in bliss. Yeah, but maybe it'll fall. Oh, there's a little turbulence. Okay, but this will just be like God. No, he wouldn't do this. No, I mean, no. Not as such, no. You know what? We don't know how much time we have. So let's give ourselves away to our loved ones. Let's tell them we love them now. Let's not wait till tomorrow when it's something that is in the power of our hand today. Do we need to see our own mortality by watching others die and go home to be with the Lord? Do we really need to have to be driven to the house of mourning at gunpoint? We need to see God in the stable he leads us to. We need to worship him there. We need to give unreservedly of ourselves in that place, right here, right now. Right now counts forever. You don't have any promise of 10 minutes from now, but you have now. So as I was reading this text and just meditating, there's like 100 Christmas messages that came to my mind. But this moved me in the direction of realizing that God's interested in the lost. He loves the lost. If you seek God, you're going to wind up with Jesus. You're going to wind up with the Son of God. And by the way, it's Christ's blood. He shed it for us. He can do what he wants with his blood. I said, he can do what he wants with his blood.
Well, what about that one? We didn't have any evidence they were saved. And
were you there on the deathbed? Were you there when they were between heaven and earth? Were you there? Well, look, if I'm a fallen sinner and full of self-interest, and I would do anything, including somersaults at the last minute to win someone into heaven, loved one, you got to realize God's looking for technicalities to take people to heaven, not put them in hell. If you, being evil, wish the best for your loved ones, God is more loving than you are. And Jesus owns his blood, and he can dip the hyssop in and apply it to anyone's heart that he chooses. Whether it's that aborted fetus, whether it's that little child that's retarded, that never comes to the age of moral accountability, it's his blood. It's his blood. He can do what he wants. So don't you say God won't appear to somebody. Just because you don't see evidences of their faith does not mean that at the last moment they did not cry out and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus places his blood on that lintel of the doorpost of their heart and he takes them to heaven. Loved one, don't limit God. Get him out of the box. He loves the lost. He loves the lost. And a diligent search for God will always lead to Jesus. And it doesn't matter how far away you are, you can always find him. They started 600 miles away, but following God's guidance, they wound up exactly where they were going to, where they were supposed to be, and you're going to wind up exactly where you're supposed to be. It's like that game Mousetrap. Remember, you drop the ball and it goes through the bathtub and it hits the guy in the foot and the weird little, and then it winds up in the little basket. Your life, I know, looks like the Mousetrap game. Yes, following God can be dangerous. Following God can be mysterious. Following God can be uncertain. And that star will lead you to a stable, but they wound up where they were going. And you're going to wind up this year where God wants you. Now, he won't always explain why you needed this journey, this strange route, but they wound up where they needed to be. And you know what's interesting? It says that they came to Bethlehem, and it says they went another way. You come to Jesus, but once you meet him, you can never leave the same way again. Once you encounter him, the master in the manger, once you reach the place where you surrender like them, you acknowledge God where you are, you worship him where you are, you unreservedly give everything you have, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, right now where you are, not someday, somehow, sometime, but right now, you're going to wind up where you're supposed to be. But again, let's take the brakes off. My little Michael on his wheelchair he's now able to get this thing around. And you undo his brakes and he's gone. He said, Michael. You know, he can't go far, but I couldn't find him the other day. I was freaking out. I'm thinking, oh my Lord, he's upstairs. He's got some new manifestation working on him or something. But in his wheelchair, his hands are all black, you know, from pushing his wheelchair around. And I thought, you know, our hands are a little bit spiritually black because we've still got enough of the brakes on trying to control how God's leading us and where we're going and how we're going. And you know what? Quit hurting yourself. We need to quit hurting ourselves this year and quit trying to put the brakes on. Well, God, go this way. You're not leading the dance. You can't nudge him. Anyway, da 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 da, this way, Lord, this way, Lord. You just get a weird crink in your neck because you're not leading this dance. I'm not leading this dance. He's leading. He's Lord. So Paul the apostle was told, Paul, it's hard to kick against the goads. You know what that meant? When you used to have an ox-driven cart, right, they would put goads or nails by the butt of this animal. So if the animal went the wrong way, they'd get nails in the butt. Or they would just have a stick with a nail on it, and when they'd go the wrong way, you just jab the animal, you know, like goading a bull. Well, we Christians are all too often trying to go against God, trying to fight the leading of God, and we get nails in our butt. And there are self-imposed nails. It isn't a spiritual virtue. Look at the marks in my body. Yeah, yeah, that you've received, you goady-goad person. Those aren't the marks that are glorious that Paul recounts. You know, some of us have a lot of scars, but we're covering them up with sweaters around our behinds. Why do you wear a sweater around your waist all the time? Never mind. Never mind. It's hard. You can kick against the goats, but it's hard to kick against the goats because you're never going to get where you're going. But when we yield to the Lord, we're going to get where we're going. The Magi wound up. They didn't go back the same way. They were never the same men again. I want to pray for you because I know that you've experienced danger in your walk with God. And I know you long for comfort. And I know that you, everyone I know here wants clarity. Oh, Lord, just show me and I'll do it. Show me and I'll do anything you tell me to do. Everyone here is some degree upset with the principle of mystery. Everyone here, some time or another, stars led you to a stable. Just smell and you can tell. But you know what? God's in that place. Let's acknowledge Him. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my precious friends right now. Oh, Lord, they're hungry and thirsty. They want the right thing. They want the best thing in their life. They don't want a good thing. They don't want an evil thing. They want the best thing. And Lord, I pray right now for those who have heavy hearts because they've sought you. They've pushed their eyes to see the funny lights. They've listened to seminars. They've read every book on the market. They keep trying to hear in their head your voice, Lord Jesus. They keep trying to get your guidance. Father, we pray peace, first of all, fall upon thy people right now. In Jesus' name, I pray peace that passes understanding to rise up in their hearts right now, Lord. Lord, we're just like ships. We set our sail, but we ask you you do all the heavy lifting, Lord. You do all the guiding. Let your wind come under our wings, Lord. Let us just hold our wings out and let you do all the work, Jesus. Sow your word in the hearts of your people so that they have your standard of guidance, Lord. I pray wise counsel upon everyone's life under the sound of my voice, those who know Scripture better than we do. I pray for a solid Holy Spirit inner witness concerning your guidance, Lord, and true peace from God, Lord, that is demonstrable in their soul. I pray for prophetic confirmation when it's needed for these lambs to know where they are going. I pray for circumstances to line up and doors to open and windows to open for their lives. I pray, Lord, for provision as never before, to enunciate the way and lay the way before them in Jesus' holy name. And we pray, Lord, right now that you protect us in the midst of danger. You protect my friend in the midst of mystery. And even in the midst of being led somewhere they don't want to be right now, Lord, help us not kick against the goads. Help us say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Help us see you in this, Lord. Help us worship you in this place. Help us give unrestrainedly all that we have in this place and surrender all that we are to you. And Jesus, we pray right now, have thine own way.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
From your heart, let that be your prayer.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Guide us, Lord. Lead us, Lord, safely to our destination in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Joaquin, come on up.